Well, today we continue and really conclude our series for the kingdom. And once a year, we like to take a part of our vision. We focus on different parts of our vision every year, and just try to like listen to what you guys are going through, what you're struggling with. We take a topical approach, and that way we can be relatable and understand what is going on in the economy. Which, by the way, get out and vote. Okay, this is my plug for voting. Election week is this week. Please get out and let your vote be heard. And what we always say is vote biblical values. And if someone is running on a platform that is not biblical, then we don't vote for them. We choose biblical values. We choose life. And we choose these things that are reflected in Scripture. So please make sure you go out and vote this week. You know, the statistics are pretty poor. I should have looked it up, but the church usually doesn't show up to vote. And then we get upset that, you know, that candidates are destroying the country on unbiblical values. And this is how we prevent it. We get out and vote. So please go out and vote. And thank you to those who've been coming every week and praying every week for the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We've been praying 3 weeks. Dr. David knows. He's been there every single day. 3 weeks we've been praying for this election day. And so I'm just very, very thankful for you two and leading it, honestly. So thank you all for praying. Okay, where was that? I just threw that in there. Okay. But what we try to do is we try to find these topics that you guys are going through and try to bring series relating to that and making sure it always points back to our vision. And so in this series, this is a Make a Difference series. What we're trying to do is we're trying to bring some things to you in lieu of the holiday season that help get you past yourself and start thinking about others. And so we just believe that if you read your Bible from cover to cover, that we're all on a spiritual journey, that God has us on a spiritual journey. And I think it's your responsibility to identify where you're at in that spiritual journey. And then there's something you should do once you identify where you're at. It's your responsibility to take the next step, that you don't become stagnant in your faith. You don't grow. You don't progress. You just stay, because if that's your stance, you will begin to fall backwards. And so it's our responsibility to figure out where we're at in our spiritual journey and then to take the next step. And we just believe that God has you on a journey. And what we have done is we've set the vision of the church after that concept. From cover to cover, that's what we see, is that God wants four things from you. The first thing is he wants to see you know God. That he wants to know you personally. He wants to know you intimately. He doesn't just want to know about you, and he doesn't want you just to know of him. He wants to know you intimately and have a personal relationship with you. Not this head knowledge, but this heart knowledge. And then once you do that, once you come into a relationship with him, a personal relationship where you know God, then he wants to lead you to this place where you can find some freedom. Because how many of y'all know that in as soon as you come to Jesus, you still got some junk. You still got some stuff that you have to deal with. Coming to Jesus, it doesn't all just go away. It doesn't disappear. Many times you come to Jesus and go, Jesus, help me. Like, help me with all this stuff, you know? I still have some addictions. I still have some hurts. I still have some pain. I have a past. And I need you to free me from that past. And I'm telling you right now, one of the biggest lies the enemy wants you to believe is that you'll always be in bondage. You'll always be addicted to that thing. You'll always struggle with that. And the reality is that God sent Jesus to die for us so that we can find freedom. He didn't send Jesus just so we can continue to struggle and sin and be addicted to things. He sent Jesus so we can actually experience the freedom. And honestly, I think when we don't experience freedom, we're saying that your death wasn't worth it. That what you did for me on the cross, I'm okay. I'm going to choose to struggle in this anyways. He died so that you can experience freedom. And that's what we want for you, that you would find freedom in your life, because a lot of times the things that we're struggling with are holding us back from what God has for us. And that is the next thing, is for you to discover your purpose. God created your purpose, Jeremiah tells us, before he created you. So that means that the purpose that you are to fulfill is greater than you. That there's a purpose, a destiny, a call of God on your life. And then he picked you to fulfill that destiny. So I think we owe it to God to discover, what is that purpose that you created, that you saw me so fit to fulfill? So we want to help you to discover that, and what you'll realize it is to help make a difference in this world. And again, that's what we believe is your ultimate call in life. The greatest privileges we can have is to make a difference in this life. You know, when we make a difference in someone else's life, we experience something that finances, substances cannot provide. It's called fulfillment. There's something supernatural that takes place when you help someone else out. It's called fulfillment. And in fact, I would go so far as to say that we don't serve people out of an act of obedience because God just asks us to. We do it because we feel like we won't know what life is even about until we make a difference in someone else's life. Like, this is the reason you were put on this planet, to make a difference. This is what secular psychologists would call transcendent living, to live beyond yourself. So this is a Make a Difference series. This series is about making a difference in the lives of others for the kingdom of God. That's what we're all about. We want to make a difference here in Lake Travis for the kingdom of God. So 3 weeks ago, we kicked off this series, and we talked about how the mandate is the message. For the kingdom is the mandate God gave us, but it's also for the message. That's why we're doing this. It's for the kingdom. And here's what the kingdom points to. It points to our mission, which is to spread the gospel. We're not just trying to build a kingdom unto ourselves. We're building a kingdom, a lighthouse for this community so that people can come to know Jesus personally. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about how God has given you the firstborn birthright. That there's, when you look in the Old Testament, there's a birthright given to the firstborn, and the firstborn received a double portion blessing. Now, how many of y'all want a double portion blessing in your life, right? I think we all do. But here's the great thing about that, is that God grafted you in. You are now the firstborn. And here's the point. Not that you would get the double portion blessing, just be like, all right, see y'all later, I'm headed to the lake, you know, like, see ya, good luck on your own. But instead, you'd have the heart like Abraham. You'd look to see the house, the family of God, and say, okay, it's my responsibility to take care of the family. That's why parents would give the oldest a double portion blessing, so that when they left and they died, they moved on, that they could take care of the family of God. They could take care of their family. And so that's what God wants to do. He wants to give you a double portion blessing so that you can take care of God's family. That's the heart of Abraham. And last week, one of the most simplest messages I ever preached, about doing good deeds. Just doing good to this world. And then today I want to talk about something so profound, and that is the life after this one. I want to talk about eternity. I want to talk about heaven. And how what you do here on earth will affect what happens to you in the next life. What you do today will affect the rest of eternity for you. So our theme verse for this series has been this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a pastor, Pastor Timothy. And he wrote him this letter saying, hey, teach your congregation this. Share this with your church. He says this in 1 Timothy 6. He says, command those who are rich, who have means, who have wealth, who have things of this world, in this present world, do not be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So don't put your hope in riches, which can't guarantee you anything, but instead put your hope in Jesus, who richly guarantees you for the future. Command them, verse 18, if you want the key to life right here, here's four things. Do good, be rich in good deeds, be generous, and be willing to share. Those four things. If we can just all, I think that's a mark of a Christian, that I'm willing to do those four things. In this way, when you do those things, you will lay up for yourselves treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. That's what we're after. Life that is truly life. That's Zeo life. To enjoy real life. Life that is truly life. You know, this passage is so profound because Paul is introducing a new concept. He's introducing to us the new motivation for life. The new motivation for your life is not to live for this life right now, but for the life to come. This is the new motivation for how you live your life, right here. Paul's introducing it to us. That heaven should now be your motivation for your everyday living. And there's not a more motivating factor to give, to serve, than to think what I'm doing is for eternity. So that, what we do on this side of life, which is our temporary side, affects what happens on the other side of life, which is our permanent side. So to live in such a way where I'm living for the permanent side of eternity, not the temporary side of eternity. You know, I think it's hard for many of us because we don't really understand what heaven is all about. And it may not even be appealing because what you have in your mind. You know, many people think that heaven is a place where there's going to be harp music and a choir and fat cherubs. Well, church, that's not heaven, that's hell, okay? You got the wrong definition in your mind, I promise you. Heaven is an incredible place. And it's such an amazing place that if you went there and you had the chance to come back, you wouldn't take it. You would say, I'm good right here, God. Please don't send me back to that earth. And what you would realize is the very thing that I want to help you to discover today, and that is this statement. Here's the theme of my message, and this is what I want you to grasp a hold of today, that there is more to life than this life. Church, there's more to life than this life. There is more to life than this life. So if you're taking message notes, here's the title of today's message, and that is More to This Than This. There's more to this than this. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the promise that you have for each and every one of us, and that is to make a difference. Lord, help us to live for eternity, not for today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's have some fun. How many of you don't understand the cultural trends of today? Like, when teenagers start talking, you're like, I have no idea what you're saying, okay? I got some young adults, I have some teenagers here with, okay, you might have to preach my message for me here, but I'm gonna do my best, okay? Because of social media, we have taken phrases and we have made them into trendy words. And there's some words that we all can identify with, but they all came from a trend. Now this is called initialism. I had to look it up because I didn't even know what it was called. It's called initialism. Let me give you some initialism words that you would be familiar with. Let me just show you. FBI. You may know what it means, but you know what FBI is. Federal Bureau of Investigation. A CEO, Chief Executive Officer. KFC, somebody. KFC. Kentucky Fried Chicken. Here we go. ATM, Automatic Teller Machine. These are some like daily, you know, initialism words that you see throughout our culture, and you may know what they know. You may not even know what ATM meant, but you know what an ATM is. So like, really, that becomes what you know. And because of the trends of today, there's so many more words that have become part of our culture, part of our daily vernacular, because of the social trends that take place, because of the teenagers. They taught us how to talk, okay? Let me give you some examples of this, and maybe you can identify. Maybe you've used these in your vernacular. Here's the first one right here. Ready? LOL. You know what that means, right? Just give me some. Have y'all used these before? Okay, LOL. Next one, BRB. Be right back. Yes? Thumbs up, thumbs down, okay? OMG. No? Okay, all right. Just my 10-year-old daughter. All right. BT Dubs, by the way. GTG, gotta go. And JK, just kidding. Okay, so like, these are obviously cultural trends at one point that have now become part of our vernacular. Like, how many are the hip, cool parents that use those words and your kids make fun of you for it? Anybody? Thank you, Mom. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yes, thank you, Mom. And as you did that, your daughter ripped your hand down. That's how it's supposed to be, right? All right, now let me give you some more that I had to Google, okay? I have no idea that these were even out there, okay? I used to be a youth pastor. I used to be trendy. Have no idea anymore. Let me show you some that I found. And here's the first one, PAW. Parents are watching. Next time your kids are texting and you look over and they say PAW to their friend, they know you're watching them. All right, here's the next one. IFYP, I feel your pain. Feel your pain. Here's this, I like this one, bae, before anyone else, it's your bae. You didn't know that? Oh, come on. You're not trendy at all. Listen, okay, DBMIB, don't bother me, I'm busy. It's just funny. AMA, ask me anything. And this is IMO, IMHO, in my humble opinion. These are trendy things that kids are using today, all right? Now, anybody else's brain fried? Okay. But there was one that swept the nation several years back, and I believe so many people still use it, and that is YOLO. You only live once. Y'all heard that one? YOLO. YOLO, all right. Drake put it in a song, and it's been a part of our culture ever since. Okay. So I shared all that with you, these initialisms, because just to get us to here, YOLO. You jumped it here. David. It's like my punchline. No one saw it. Okay. You only live once, but here's what I'm suggesting, David, now. Here we go. Thank you, sir. All right. YOLT. You only live twice. So I love the idea of YOLO because it's like, hey, I'm going to take advantage of today, and I'm going to live for today. I'm going to make the most of today. But in reality, YOLT is what we should be saying, because there really is another life after this one. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this, he has also set eternity in the human heart. Whether you believe in God or not, there's something inside of all of you that wonders, what is life after death like? You see, when I was 10 years old, this is what led me to come into a relationship with Jesus, because my oldest brother tried to kill himself, and I would lay awake at night and wonder, where would he go? What was he trying to accomplish? And it made me wonder, what happens when I die? And it led me to the Lord, and here's the reality that, according to that verse, God put that there. God put a desire inside of every single one of us and a curiosity of what happens after this life. Hebrews 9:27 says this, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. Church, you have an appointment with death. Aren't you glad you came to church? You're welcome. Aren't you feeling encouraged, lifted up today? Scripture tells us that there is a death date with your name on it. Each and every one of us have it. And then after that, you will face judgment. So here's some theology for you today. I hope I can help you by reading God's word today. Once you die, take your last breath on this side of eternity, you will find yourself entering into heaven having two judgments, okay? Some theology for today. Here's the first judgment. This judgment is called the Great White Throne Judgment. So when you take your last breath, you will wake up before God. And I just got to talk to you about it. You will stand face to face with God. And he's going to ask you this one question. And just so you know, I don't think it's a conversation. I don't think it'll be back and forth. I think he's going to know the answer based upon how you lived your life. But I just want to help you today. This question will be the most important question you will answer in your entire eternity experience. The one and most important question you can ever answer. You know, God's not going to ask you about your sin. He's not going to ask you about your failures. He's not going to ask you about your family. He's not going to ask you about your accomplishments. He's not going to ask you even how many times you've been to church or how you did in fantasy football. He doesn't care about any of that stuff. The crazy part about this one question is we already know what the question is going to be. Y'all like those tests when you were in school? Like, it was a one-question test. And then what if you actually knew what the question would be? You can study for that one question. God did that. So he said, hey, I got one question for you. When you step into eternity, I'm going to give you one question. And how you answer that question determines the rest of your eternity, whether you'll be spending it in heaven or you'll be spending it in hell. This is called the Great White Throne Judgment. You ready for the question? I'm going to help you with it. According to Scripture, this is what he say. This is the one question you're going to be asked. Hey, son, daughter, what did you do with my son Jesus? Again, I don't think it's going to be a question that you're going to be able to entertain and have a conversation. I think it's going to be how you live your life here on earth. You got to answer that question today. You got to answer that question now before you meet God face to face. So this is your question. Like, you can't mess this up. This is the one question you got to get right for you to spend all eternity in heaven instead of hell. I want to help you today and give you the answer to that. That you can say today, yes to Jesus. Jesus, I give you my life in return for you giving me yours. I'm saying yes to Jesus, and I come into a personal relationship with him. That's what your life is going to be. That's what your answer should be. And when you say that, when he sees that you gave your life to Jesus here on earth, his response is going to be, well, come on in. You got the answer right. And I think we all long for that day, that response, knowing that you just got into heaven, not because of what you did, but because of what Jesus did. But then, church, this is the judgment we don't like to talk about a lot, but this judgment is all throughout Scripture. This is the second judgment. And this second judgment will not determine whether you will spend all eternity in heaven or hell, but it will determine how your eternity is spent, okay? And this judgment is called the judgment seat of Christ. The second judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us, what we deserve, for the things done while we are in the body, in the flesh, here on earth, whether good or bad. That's the second judgment right there. So let's look at to see how Jesus talks about this. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 27, he says this, Jesus, for the Son of Man is going to come to his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. So Jesus is going to come and reward each of you for what you've done here on earth. Just think about that for a second. Now that word reward there in the Greek is the Greek word apodidomai. And apodidomai, check this out, it does not mean reward, it means to pay you back. It means that one day Jesus is going to come and based upon how we live our lives, he's going to pay us back for how we live for him on earth. You know, when you served in the tech ministry, when you served holding those babies, when you gave faithfully each and every week in tithes and offerings, when you gave to the for the kingdom initiative, it wasn't for nothing. You did it to benefit the kingdom of God here on earth, but guess what? When you get to heaven, I'm going to pay you back. That's the heavenly bank account we've been talking about. I'm going to pay you back. To which many of you would probably say, no, 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 God, I'm in heaven. I'm good. You're like, I don't need you to pay me back. I'm okay. Like, I didn't do any of that so that I could get paid back one day. And I think the Lord will look at us and say, too bad. It's my heaven. I call the shots. I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to give you the reward. So listen to this. Jesus used this very thought as the main motivation for how you live your life here on earth. That you will be paid back one day at that second judgment. Yes, you have Jesus. And that's awesome. You're going to heaven. But how you live your life here on earth is how your eternity will be affected. This is one of those things that we hear from Jesus, and it's one of the first things, and it's also one of the last things. I love this. And we see it when he begins his ministry, and then at the very end of your Bible, in Revelation 22, 12, at the very end of Scripture, Jesus comes back, and he's like, check this out. Look, I'm coming soon. And I just let that phrase settle in. I think he's coming sooner than you think. Let's not debate on when. Let's just say it's soon, okay? Soon. And Jesus is saying, my apodidomai, my reward, my payback is with me. And I'm going to give to each person according to what they've done. My job as a pastor is to prepare you not only for this life, but the life to come. The one for all eternity. There will be two judgments. The first one is so important, you can't earn it. You receive it by faith, and that is, what have you done with my son Jesus? And here's the second one. It will establish what all eternity is going to look like for you. But it's all about how you live your life today, here in the flesh. Church, there will come a day you will meet Jesus face to face. And how you live your life today will determine how that conversation will go. So I want to give you some heavenly principles to help you. I'm going to give you three heavenly principles to help you in this life to prepare yourself for the life to come. So remember, there's more to life than this life. That's the premise of today. So here's the first thing, church, good news, we're just passing through. We're just passing through. This is a good reminder for your life, but especially if you're going through something difficult today. If you're facing an illness, if you're facing some struggles, if you're facing some heartache and some break in relationships, just remember, this is temporary. You're just passing through. Remember, there is more to this life than this life. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says this, for our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory for beyond all comparison. Your suffering is momentary. It's brief. It's a snap of a finger. It's light in comparison. But check this out. It's making a way for you an eternal weight of glory. It should be good news if you're suffering today. So if you're suffering, just remember, you're just passing through. But then there's another group of people that really just live for today. that really just live for this side of eternity. And here's what the word would say to you, Philippians 3, 18 through 20. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their name, their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but for us, our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there. He's coming back, the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who live for today, who only live for the temporary pleasures of life, the Bible says that destruction is your destiny. But to those who understand that we're just passing through, they are citizens of heaven, and their reward is in heaven. So the picture that God gave me when I was preparing this message is this. Imagine heading to the destination of the greatest day of your entire life. Maybe it's your wedding day. Maybe it's the birth of one of your children. The greatest day of life. And on your way, you get distracted. You see a group of people hanging out. You see a party. They got good food, good music. And you stop and hang out there, and you end up missing the greatest day of your life. Remember, we're just passing through. I'm here to remind you that you're on your way. When you started this life, you were on your way to somewhere very important. It's heaven. And you're just stopping through right now. So church, don't get distracted. Don't become too comfortable, because we're not settling in. We're on our way, and we're just passing through. Hebrews 11, 14 through 16 says this: people who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. They were after a far better country than that, a heavenly country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. Just receive that today, that God's so proud of you. If you consider yourself a citizen of the kingdom of God and you're just passing through, the Lord says he's proud of you today. God is looking for those who are not looking to get distracted or settle in and be distracted by what's right in front of them. That's short-mindedness. We live for eternity, not for today. So, we're just passing through. Here's a second thing, some heavenly principles. Our time on earth is short. I don't know how you feel today. Maybe you feel like you've lived forever, or maybe you feel like you were born yesterday. I don't know where you fall, and depending on your week, it'll probably tell us a lot, but what I've learned is this expression is true. I've heard it from many people, that days feel like years, and years feel like days. Have you heard that before? I mean, y'all, it is November of 2022. Like, didn't it just begin yesterday? Years feel like days. James 4:14 says, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." It's one of those spray bottles. That's your life. But yet, we think that's all that we get in life. So we forego the rest of eternity for the mist. This is an important concept for us to understand, that this is but a vapor, but a mist. Because this, if you think you have extra in life, you're gonna waste. You can have that. Yeah, I'll give you that. I'm going to waste because I got extra. But if you realize that that's all that you have, you savor. You're careful. Church, be careful with your life. Don't waste it. Psalm 90:12 says this: "Teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are." There's a realization for you. Help us to spend them as we should. In 2011, a movie came out called In Time by the greatest actor of all time, Justin Timberlake. Just kidding, it was a joke. But this movie was actually, it captured me. I can't speak to if it was good or appropriate, I don't remember. But here's the point. It was mind-boggling for me. The concept is this, that they live in a world where their time is their currency. So they, if they want to buy something at the store, they give time to buy that. If they go and have a job and they make currency, they make time, and it's added to them. And so once you're out of time, you're dead. It's just an interesting concept to me. And as I got to thinking about that scripture we just read, actually that's a biblical concept. We just read that you can spend your time. And I think a lot of us understand we probably can waste our time, but Did you know in Ephesians 6, there's a way that you can gain time? Ephesians 6 tells us that you can gain time. You can add to your life by honoring your parents. Kids, where are you at? You can gain time in this life by honoring mom and dad. So the reality is that we get to spend our life however we choose, but that's the reality that we all get to face. How are you going to spend your time? So I ask you, what do you spend in your life on? Work? Relationships that don't matter? Games? Here's a big one. Do you spend your time worrying? You see, we're just passing through, and our time is short, so make the most of it. Point number three. Just make the most of it. You need to make the most of every opportunity that's presented to you. What you need to know is that life that you live in right now, it's a test. Every day you're presented with opportunities that you'll never get back. Opportunities to do good or opportunities to do bad. And I'm just telling you that today you will be offered an opportunity. And how you respond to that opportunity will either add to your eternity or take away for your eternity. What you do today, you will be held accountable to before Jesus. Remember, Jesus' goal, he wants to reward you. He wants to pay you back. And those moments will come from opportunities that present themselves this week, this year. So how you respond matters. How you treat people matters. How you handle yourself under pressure matters. What you do here on earth, it makes a huge difference for all eternity. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16 says this, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. That making the most of every opportunity is a Greek word here used that's called kairos. Kairos, the meaning and definition of kairos is a moment in eternity. And the way that it actually is defined is this. It's a moment. It opens and it quickly closes. A kairos moment, a moment in eternity. So church, make the most of this kairos moment that you've been given. This moment in of eternity that you'll never get back. Because one day you will face a second judgment, and this is what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 3, 13 through 14, but on the judgment day, I love this, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive payback. Does your work matter? Does what you work at hold any value? I'm not talking about maybe what you do for a profession. Maybe, I don't know, ask the Lord. But what you work at, what you do, what you spend your time on, does it matter? Does it hold any value? I think we spend too much time on things that don't matter. We spend too much time on things that hold no value at all. And let me say this to you. Let me just take it a step further. Does the work you do it in the name of Jesus? Because fire is going to test it. You can be nice, man, but that's going to burn up. But if you are nice in the name of Jesus, there's a reward for you. You can be generous, like many philanthropic and these generous people are. Man, that's going to burn up. It's going to burn up. But if you're generous in the name of Jesus, you'll be rewarded. Let me say it a little stronger. You can feed the whole world out of your generosity and your desire to be philanthropic. You can feed the whole world, but if the whole world goes to hell, you lose. Do you work in the name of Jesus? Because the Bible just told us that your work must survive. Meaning it will be put to test. It will be put to the fire. And it must point people to Jesus and to the kingdom of God. So really, all that matters in this life is what's going to show up in eternity. If it doesn't show up there, it's simply a waste of time here. promise, when you get to heaven, you won't be thinking about your investments. You won't be thinking about your portfolio, the money you loaned to your cousin you never got back. But you will be thinking about your heavenly bank account, the investments you made here on earth that were heavenly investments, because that's the only thing that will matter that you'll see. I think we just need to live with the end in mind, church. Have you ever watched those documentaries of 9/11? There's one in particular where these victims who are about to die make their final phone call to their loved ones. It's interesting to hear what they talk about. They don't argue about who did the dishes. They don't talk about a vacation that they need to take. They invest their final moments of life in what really matters. I love you. I'm so proud of you. I'll always be with you. Church, if you knew you only had a day left to live, what would you do? Who would you go and talk to? How would you spend your final day living on earth? Knowing now that there's two judgments, that once you die and enter into the afterlife, and also knowing that how you live your life on this side of eternity determines the rest of eternity for you, how would you spend your last day? And just to be transparent with you, this is the hardest part of my job as a pastor, to convince you to forego the temporary pleasures of today for the permanent rewards of eternity. This is what I felt from the Lord, only if you knew. Only if you knew what God had in store for you. 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. I promise you, if you get there and you had the opportunity to come back, you wouldn't do it. What God has planned for us is so much better than the world can offer. There's more to life than this life. Live for heaven. Live for eternity. Live for what really matters. Would you pray with me? I just want to give you a moment for you to ask the Holy Spirit what he's saying to you through this message. I believe that God is here. We believe that God speaks to us in any way. And so just want to give you a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. What is he saying to you? What are you supposed to get out of this message? You came for a reason. God put you here for a reason. God, what do you want to say to me through this message? Just let him speak to you. See what he says. See what comes to mind. Father, help us to live for eternity, not to be distracted by what's in front of us, but to understand that we're just passing through. And Lord, what we do here on earth really does matter, that you want to pay us back. We don't deserve it. We don't need it. But Lord, we understand what you're trying to do. Lord, help us to live for eternity, not for today. And I want to close like I always do, giving you an opportunity to pass that first test. You pass it today. When you get to heaven, you're not going to be able to convince Jesus that you're a Christian. You give your life to him here on earth and you live for Jesus. So when you get to heaven, he'll already know. But there is a first judgment, the great white throne judgment, that one day you will face God and he's going to ask, what did you do with my son Jesus? I want to give you an opportunity to accept him today as your personal Lord and Savior. That way, when you get to that moment, that he'll say to you, come on in. You accepted my son Jesus, and you live for him. So if that's you today, if you've never made that decision, you never prayed that prayer, I want to lead you in a prayer today to seal that. Right where you're at, just pray this. Pray this to God. Say, God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross in my place for my sins. I ask for forgiveness, and I place my faith and my trust in you today. Today, I receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, and I commit to living for him for the rest of my life. He gave me his life, and today I choose to give him my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Quick clap and celebrate those who prayed that prayer. Amen.